Okay, so last time we began discussing Kisamim and the various kulos that we have in Kisamim that we don't have by a standard re'iyah. The first thing that we began discussing is the din of shir, of pachos mikigris v'od, that a kesem does not render a woman tmeya midrabanan if the size of the kesem is less than a gris v'od. So we noted that most achronim assume, like the general approach of the Chasam Sofer, that the shear of a kigris v'od is an absolute shear, independent of the actual presence of lice or like macholos bugs in the particular community that a woman may live. So even if a macholos is not to be found, or even if the size of the macholos now is not the size of macholos of yore, we still have the right to be mako for a kesem that is less than a gris. This position we also find, for example, in the Rashash. The Rashash has a comment on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis and Ar Masechta that we always are tola on the shear of a gris. If you look in the Darkei Tshuva, Darkei Tshuva in Simen Kuf Tzadi Siv Katan Lamed Vav, Darkei Tshuva writes, Pashahu Dafil Bivnos Melachim Mashar Mifunachim Gidolim, that even when it comes to royalty, even when it comes to the most finicky people, Shagufa and Ubidein and Mitasa and Akiyam and Bidukin, Mikol Shemis, Luchluch Vizia, where their beds and their clothing would never come in contact with any bug. Nevertheless, we have the right to be Mako on the shear of Pachos Mikigris, and the Xeras Ksamim never applied to Ksamim of that size. In the Sefer Mishmeres HaTara, Rabbi Karp Sefer, he points out on page 62 that this may be the mashmos of the Rambam and other Rishonim. The Rambam in Perek Tes, Halacha Vav, Abisirei Bia, when the Rambam presents the shear of a gris, he makes no mention of macholas. He just presents, as we noted last time, the shear gris. How do we calculate that shear? He doesn't make any mention of the connection to a macholas. That implies, perhaps, that the shear exists totally independent of the ability to be told it on any local bug. We did note, however, that there is a minority opinion in Achronim who are Machmir. We discussed this first in the context of a Re'iyah below Hargasha. If a woman sees a Kesem that definitely came from her body without Hargasha, So we noted that there is opinion in Achronim that is Machmir, and that even if it's less than a gris, that is also the opinion of the Sidrei Tara in Sivkat and Samach Aleph. If you have a chance, if you want to look at the Sidrei Tara inside, it's a lengthy piece, but he has a thorough analysis of this issue. Now, if one were to take this more Machmir position, that you can't automatically rely on a shear of less than a gris if you don't have these bugs around, so then you'd have to take into consideration what is the size of a contemporary louse. If you look in the Shiurei Shevet HaLevi, Rav Osner's Shiurim on Nida, in our Simen Kuf Tzadi Sif Hei Os Aleph, he says that the size of a contemporary louse would be a circumference of about 5 to 6 millimeters, which is less than a third of the size of the traditional gris. So we said last time that we presume, most poskim presume the shear of a kigris to be around 19 millimeters in circumference. So then the contemporary gris, the contemporary macholes, would be about a third of that size. Yeah, Yoni.
If we're changing to contemporary gris,
right,
house, why would we not just change the contemporary situation where there aren't common?
No, so it could be you have the ability to be tola on a contemporary macholas, meaning even though you don't see it now, they are around. They're just every now and then there's a bed bug outbreak or there are lice around. So the fact that they exist would be enough to be tolled on, even if you don't see one in front of you. That is clear from the Gemara, that you don't need to actually see. I mean, that's the Machlokes Tanaim, but the way we pass, you don't need to actually see the bug in order to be tolled. But it could be that you need to have the bugs around, generally speaking, to be tolled. So if there are lice around in that size, if you're going to be Machmir, you could still be tolled less than the size of a contemporary Macholas. What if a person wants to be machmir on himself, on a shear pachos mikigris? Is that an acceptable practice? So in the Shiurei Shevet HaLevi there, he quotes a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. The Tshuvas Chasam Sofer is in Yoredeya Simen Kuf Mem Tes, who was asked about an Eishes Chaver, a wife of a Talmid Chacham, a respectable figure, who found a mare of a questionable shade. It was borderline red. And the Posek Paskin that it was not a mare, it was a mare tahor. It was not Namid Tamehir. So the Posek Paskin, the Mora Paskin, that she's Mutaris Labaila, but the husband, who is a Chover, wanted to be Machmir. So does he have the right to be Machmir on this Kesem, which was of questionable color, where the Rav already Paskined that it is Mutter? So the Chasam Sofer there advances the argument that the way he frames the question is, do we say this is like a Shaila and a piece of meat? So if a Mor HaRav Paskins that a certain piece of meat is kosher, an individual has the right to be machmir on himself not to eat that piece of meat. So do we say the same thing here? Or here, you'd be machmir on yourself on your wife's judgment. So do you have the right to do that? So the Chasam Sofer in this particular context argues that a person has the right to have a practice of being a parish, and even if at the time that they got married he didn't have this practice, if he was an aspiring Talmid Chacham, the general trajectory of aspiring Talmid Chachamim is to accept a chumras upon themselves. So he writes that Kevan Shekein Darkan Shel Prushim Shev Yisrael Yizahir Midavar Shahar B'Chacham, since it is a practice of Prushim to be machmir on something where there is a Ras Chacham, even though the Posek Paskin that is Mutter, Parish may be machmir on himself. So Nihid B'Shas HaNisuin Lo Yemisnaiga Dain B'Precious, even though by the time that he got married he didn't have this extra level of Precious, still she can claim that I never agreed to enter a marriage under these circumstances, because that's the normal trajectory. Tamid HaChachamim Kol Zman Shem Askinin, they grow in their midas ha-precious. So the Rav Ozner knows that even if the Chasam Sofer should be accepted, but there's a difference between his shaila and our shaila. His shaila was where there's a mara of questionable shade. So we'll talk about the shades of maras as we go on. So there it was borderline red. So the Mora HaRav Paskin that it's a mara tahor. But he wants to be machmir on himself because it's a borderline shade. But here we're talking about a shear gris, where according to the general consensus in Achronim, less than a shear gris, there was never any gzeira, there was never any yisur the rabbanon. So to be machmir on yourself for a shear that doesn't exist, machmir on yourself for a shear where there's never any yisur to begin with, that would be unacceptable. So he says, maybe if you want to be machmir according to the size of a contemporary gris, because there are a minority opinion of Poskin that accept that, maybe you could argue that's okay. But to be machmir even less than that, if you have a kol shehu of a kesem, that's even less than the shear of a contemporary gris, so that, Rav Ozner argues, would be totally unacceptable to be machmir. Rav Avadia writes in the Taras Abayis on page Shin Ayin Beis, he quotes from the Ben Ishchai. And the Ben Ishchai in Baghdad noted that there were women who had the practice, he quotes earlier Sephardi sources, who noted there were women who had the practice of being machmir on any kesem, even less than a gris, al bigadeha. So they'd be machmir on any size kesem. And Rav Avadia writes that that's inappropriate, that's not an appropriate minhag. And you should publicize that it's an inappropriate minhag, and that's a chumrah that's going to lead to kulas. And Rav Avadia writes that this is because of women's laziness, they don't want to ask a shayla of a rav, so rather than ask a shayla of the rav, they're going to be unduly machmir upon themselves. That, he writes, is inappropriate. And then he quotes from another Sephardi sefer, the Admas Kodesh, I don't know who that was, who blames the Sephardi poskim for not being as aggressive as the Ashkenazi poskim in paskining on shayla sataras ha mishpacha. So he writes that the Sephardi poskim were reluctant to paskin, and that's why the women were machmir on themselves, and the Ashkenazi poskim were much more involved in tzika, in issues of taharas hamishpacha. So that's what Rav Avadia quotes, that it's totally inappropriate to be machmir on a shir pachos mikigris, which we assume to be heter gomer. Then he quotes some other sources that he quotes in the Abbez of Zhurba that there was this elderly woman that was asking for that the women would ask their shaylas, and she was inappropriately machmir, so the rabbi put her out of business So he has some interesting source material over there on page Shinayim Beis and Shinayim Gimel. That's what he writes, that it's inappropriate to be machmir on a shir less than a gris when the general accepted psak, is that that is not a marat tame at all, even midir rabbanan. Nevertheless, Rav Avadia writes on page Shin in the Taras Abayis, he quotes him a sefer Teferes Tzvi. There again, he's talking about a mar of a questionable shade. That he quotes him the sefer Teferes Tzvi, that even if you have a Mara Yarok, so again, we'll have to talk about what shades are a problem, that even if you have a Mara Yarok that is a Mara Tahor, if you have a Kesem that's a Mara Tahor, it would be appropriate to be Poresh at least for one night. Meaning, if you have a Kesem that is a Mara Tahor, even though technically speaking she's Mutaris Labayla, because we're concerned that maybe this is going to precipitate maratame, it's advisable to be poresh for one night. And Rav Ozner writes in the Shevet Alevi, Tshuvah Shevet Alevi, Chelek Hey, Simen Kav Vav Os Beis. Again, Chelek Hey, Simen Kav Vav Os Beis. That even though there's a certain amount of latitude given to poskim in terms of paskening on shades of maros and paskening on samim. Nevertheless, experience has shown, writes Rav Ozner, that it's advisable for a woman to be, even if she has a kesem where the psak is that it's mara tahor, she should be parish mibayla, he writes, 2 or 3 days, because often you'll have a mara tahor, and then the woman's going to see a little bit later that which is a mara tame, but she'll say to herself, she already showed the first mara to the Rav, and the Rav passed that it's mutter. So she doesn't have to show the second mara, because to her eyes it's all the same. And in reality, the first mara may have been a mara tahor, and the second mara is going to be a mara tame. So Rav Ozner writes that experience has shown it's better to be a little bit machmir, that she should be parish mivayla, he writes, a couple days, just to make sure that the kesem, which is a mara tahor, doesn't then turn into a mara tame. Rabbi Willig advises, and this is in print in his Beis Yitzchak article, I think Beis Yitzchak Lamites, Rabbi Willig generally advises that if a woman sees any kesem, even if it's a mara tahor, and even if it's less than a gris, Medina, she should be Poresh for 24 hours. Because again, experience has shown that very often a Kesem, even if technically speaking it's a Mara Tahor, is a indicator that there's going to be a Mara Tame coming, and she may have a regular Re'iyah in a short amount of time. So it would be, so Rabbi Willig says that a woman must be Poresh for, let's say, 24 hours, or at least for the coming night, after seeing a kesem, even if it's a kesem that is a mara tahor, unless there's some kind of a tliya, like a tliya b'maka, which we'll have to talk about as we go on. So again, Rav Avadia quotes that if you have a mara of a questionable color, even if it's paskin as a mara tahor, you should be parish for that night. Rav Ozner says it's a good idea to be parish for, he writes, up to 2 or 3 days. Rabbi Willig's psak is that a woman should be parish, generally speaking, for 24 hours. And I saw the same in the sefer of Rabbi Forsheimer's psakim. Rabbi Forsheimer is the major posek in Lakewood. What's the sefer called?
Pritara.
So he writes the same thing there as well, that if a woman sees a kesem, even if it's a kesem that's tahor, that's less than a gris, it's appropriate to be parish for 24 hours the next night to make sure that it's not a indicator, or it's not a precipitator of a full re'iyah that may come up in the very near future. Question? Okay. Good. So let's discuss other potential nafkamina on this question as to whether a kesem pelchos mikigris is an absolute exemption from pelchos ksamim, or is it simply a tliya b'macholas. Does it exist under all circumstances? Achazal were never goes there any on any kes and pachas mikigris, or is it simply a function of the ability to be tola an a machala? So we already noted the primary nafkamina that we discussed in different contexts is if you have dam that comes vada migufa, which is less than a gris, and that that we gave our attention to previously. There are other shilas that come up, which may, not necessarily, but may likely be dependent on this question as well. So, for example, what is the din of a black kesem that is less than a gris? So the Ravid, in the end of Shaar Aksamim, in the Bali Nefesh, the Ravid writes that the only kesem which you can be makel on pachas mikigris is a red kesem. But if you have a black kesem, and we'll see black sometimes could be a maritame, if you have a black kesem, then you're not allowed to be makel just because it is less than a gris. You have to be machmir on that shayla, presumably, because if you have a black kesem, the ability to be tola on a macholes is not there. Macholes is only produce red images and not black. So this Ravid is quoted by Rav Kiveger in his Hagos here on the page of the Shulchan Aruch on Se'if Hei, say one line citation of the Ravid. The Sidrei Tara in the end of Sif Katan Samach Aleph, as well as in Sif Katan Yud, quotes a Chuvas Mil Tztaka, raising the issue as to why this Ravid is not quoted by the classic Poskim. The Sidrei Tara notes that we could well understand why it's not quoted by the classic Poskim if the nature of Pachos Mikigris is that it's an absolute exclusion from Hilchos Ksamim. If the nature or the formulation of the Xeris Ksamim excluded any Mara that's less than a Gris, then that exclusion is absolute, even if there's no direct ability to be Tola on a Macholas. So even though the Sidrei Tara himself is of the opinion that the exclusion of Pachos Mikigris is less sweeping, it has to be dependent on the ability to be Tola b'Macholas, but he acknowledges that if you take the other approach, then you well understand why Poskim would not quote the Ravid. Ramosha writes in a tshuva, Yoridea Chelek Gimel Simin Kuf Mem Beis Os Dalid. Again, Yoridea Chelek Gimel Simin Kuf Mem Beis Os Dalid. That the Sidrei Tara himself points out, there are situations where maybe you could, even if it is based on a Taliyah, you could have a Taliyah on a Mara Shachor. Because the Gemara also tells us, in addition to Macholes, as we'll see in Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Zion, there's something called a Pishpish. which creates a Mara Shachor. So even if a Macholas doesn't create a Mara Shachor, a Pishpish creates a Mara Shachor, and at least in areas where they have Pishpishim, you can be Tola a black Mara on a Pishpish. Bar Moshe then writes that maybe the Ravid was even closer from his original opinion, because even though the Ravid has this line, Lebali Nefesh, it's not reflected in the Hasogas Ravid on the Rambam. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Os Kaf Beis that Lahalacha were Tola on a Macholes or Nekel on a Kesem Pachos Mikigris, whether or not it's a red Kesem or a black Kesem. Well, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that's because we have the ability to be Tola on a Pishpish.
Regardless of whether the plastering has a Pishpish or not?
That's what the Aruch HaShulchan sounds like, yeah. Although, well, not necessarily. The Aruch HaShulchan actually writes the Aruch HaShulchan says like this. Even those Rishonim who are Machmir, maybe they're only Machmir in countries where you don't have a Pishpesh. So he himself sounds like he's Mekel Lahalacha. Whether that's a function of the existence of Pishpeshim or in general, it sounds like it's in general. Yoni.
He asks a question on the Taz when we're talking about the biggest size that
right,
you find.
Right.
He said there that even if you find a big grist, it doesn't mean you're going to find a big kina.
Right.
So he's asking but, that, is that but, assuming that.
Yeah, but what he acknowledged, what the Aruch HaShulchan writes there, is that it must be that the reason that the shear was established based on a gris is that Chazal assumed that you're not going to find a macholas that's bigger than the biggest gris that you could find. Right?
It's still basing on macholas.
So that is still. So that could still be the original formulation of the Gzeira, or the original exclusion from the Gzeira. But whether you need to actually have a Macholes or a Pishpish to pin it on now doesn't. You know, that may not be the case independent of the original formulation of the Gzeira. Okay. So, bottom line, on a Kesem Shachor or Pachos Miki Gris, Ramosh is Mekel, Yerach HaShulchan is Mekel, Badi HaShulchan seems to be Machmir, Badi HaShulchan and Sif Katan Mem Zayin. But again, the Sidri Tara thinks that this may be dependent on the general question as to whether the exclusion of Pachos Miki Gris is an absolute exclusion, or is it only a function of being able to be Tola V'Macholes. Although there is a possibility that built into the ability to be Mako on a black Mara is the fact that the black Mara may be attributable to a Pishpish. Okay. What's the din of a Kesem that is found on an area less than the size of a gris, but there is a thick buildup of dam? Maybe there's thick dam such that if you were to spread the dam out, it would be spread over an area larger than the size of a gris, but it happens to be consolidated right now in a size of less than a gris. So the Sidri Tara, same Sifkat and Samach Aleph, initially he is noted to be Mako on this Shiloh. It's also quoted in the Piskei Tshuva Sif Katan Tes. So initially the Sidrei Tara is noted to be Mako, but then he says ultimately Hakol Lefi Reos Einei Hamora, that the Posek, the Mara, has to be able to look at the Mara in front of him and determine what the din should be. So it could be this is totally on the same Shaila, that if there's an absolute exclusion of Pachos Miki Gris from Hilchos Ksamim, then that exclusion may have been formulated absolutely whether or not the dam that is in that area less than a gris could be spread out over a large area. You don't have to say that. It could be that that was also built into the Gzeira, but one could make such an argument. The Aruch HaShulchan paskins in Sif Katan Lamed Dalid that we are Mako on this Shaila because of Lo Nitnu Chachamin Devrayim L'Shi'urin, that Shi'urei Chazal are absolute. So if the decision was to exclude an area Pachos Miki Gris from Hilchos Ksamim, so that exclusion would apply to any area Pachos Miki Gris, even in a situation where there is a thicker buildup of blood that could theoretically be spread over a larger area. Okay, so generally, the Aruch HaShulchan is Mako. The Sidrei Tara thinks that ultimately it's up to the Mara Hara, but in general, the orientation is to be Mako on this Shiloh. Yeah.
does this apply? Does that thing actually apply to all the Torah? I mean, I remember seeing in one of the footnotes in the Ra'ir that Rav Moshe says that if, even on Bigi Tzivonim, for example, I don't even talk about that, but Bigi Tzivonim, if you can sort of tell that it's a larger amount.
Right, so Moshe writes that, or Moshe is quoted as saying that if you have a large mara, that speaks to a broader issue, which is what's the demarcation between a kesem and a riya, right? So we know a flow is a riya, and we know what a kesem pachas mikigris is a kesem. A kesem a little bit over gris is a kesem, but if a woman sees a lot of blood, so at some point that becomes a riya. So Moshe is quoted as saying that if a woman sees blood, even though it's on Sivonim, it should have the cool Saksamim more than the shear of a silver dollar, then she should be machmir that is a maratame, that she has to be machmir to count the whole cycle. But that's a there the issue is defining what's a Re'iyah versus what's a Kesem. And there, the Lefi Ra'os Einei Hamora component is critical, because sometimes you need to have some intuition and some understanding of case history and what's the norm for this woman, what's the norm in general, to be able to pass on the shailas appropriately. Okay. Another issue that may relate to this question is the shaila of Safek. So in the Chachmas Adam, the Chachmas Adam writes in Klal Kuf Yud Gimel, Os Kav Tes. In Neva Kodim Shira Chacham, if a woman has a kesem and before she's able to show it to the posek, she loses a kesem. The Eina Yodas Im Hayabo Kigris Alo, and she doesn't know whether that kesem had a shear gris or not. O Im Haya Edom Alo, she doesn't know if the kesem was a Mare Tamir Mare Tarif, if it was a red or some other color. Biksamim Shumid Rabbanan Uzlin and Lakula. That since we're talking about Hilchos Ksamim, which is only a Din Rabbanan anyway, so she has the right to be Meko if there's a Safik as to whether the Kesem was Pachos Mikigris, or Safik whether the Kesem was a red Kesem or not, and she lost it before she was able to show it to the Mara, then she has the right to be Meko. So the Badi Yashochan on page Kuf Nun Zayin in the Beyurim, which is the Beyurim and Sifhei. So the Badi Yashochan wonders why this should be so. Then maybe a woman should have to be Machmir, because in general, when it comes to Talios, you only have the right to be Tola where there's something legitimate to be Tola on. You can't have a... If there's a suffix, whether there's grounds for Talia, you can't be Tola based on a suffix. So why is this any different than being Tola based on a suffix? You don't know whether there's a gris or not. So isn't that a Talia based on a suffix? So in the Sefer Mishmeres HaTara, page Ayin Zayin, he says, the Baal Shulchan here is clearly assuming that at least when it comes to Pachos Mikigris, that's a standard Taliyah. And if it's a standard Taliyah, then you're subject to the standard rules of Taliyahs, that you can't be told if it's only a Suffolk. But if Pachos Mikigris isn't a Taliyah, but the whole nature of Xer's Ksamim excluded a Shir Pachos Mikigris, so then it's not a Suffolk on a Taliyah, it's a Suffolk as to whether the whole Din Darabanan ever applied. And there we'd say Suffolk Darabanan Lukula. Yeah.
You also
said whether it's red, yeah. So that's, sorry? So we have to figure out what that's based on, right? But so we haven't talked about we haven't directly talked about Maris yet. So the Mishmeres HaTara is one could distinguish between a Safek on Mara Edom and a Safek on Pachos Mikigris. So the Mishmeres HaTara is taking Revival Cohen is taking up the issue of Pachas Mikigris, not the issue of the Tzav HaMar. Yes, that would be a separate separate discussion to figure out where what the base of the Chachmas Adam is over there. But as far as the issue of Pachas Mikigris, so what emerges from Rabbi Karp's observation is that this question may be dependent on our initial question as to whether the Isser of, or the status of Kasim Pachas Mikigris was a total exclusion from Hilchos Tzomim, or is it a Tzlia? The Divrei Malkiel, Lam Jarav, he also paskins Sukula here in Chelek Dalet Simen Samech Zayin. And he says that's in both Shilas, both in the Shilas to the size of the Kesem and the Shilas of the shade of the Mara where she lost the Kesem. So he says that's a Safid Rabbanon and she has a Cheskas Tara. So Safid Rabbanon, she has a Cheskas Tara, even if it's a Shilas of the Mara, you have the right to be Mekel. Yeah.
Does that
No, right now she has a Cheskas Tara because she's Mutaris Labayla, she's not Anita. Now she has a Kesem, right? So even, so at the Cheskas Tara still stands. So even if, often she has Ksamim that are going to be Tame, but right now her Cheskas Tara still stands. Okay. There's a Machlokas Rishonim whether or what is the status of a kesem pachos mikigris al disara. So until now we've been discussing a kesem pachos mikigris on a baguette. What about a kesem pachos mikigris on a woman's body? And does that carry with it the same kulas ksamen? So the Rambam paskins Perek Tas Hilchos Isuri Bi Halacha Tes. Sorry, Perek Tas Halacha Vav. Perek Tas Isuri Bi Halacha Vav. Ma Bein Kesam Animsa Al Bisara Le Kesam Animsa Al Bigadeha. What's the difference in din between a kesem on a woman's body and a kesem on a beged? She Kesam Hanimsa Al Bisara Ein Lo Shir. If they have a kesem on her body, there's no shear, meaning even a kesem of a small amount of blood is going to be metame her midrabanan. Vanim sala beged, eina metame achia kigrisa kalkali, etc. But a kesem on a beged, so there you have a shear gris. So the Rambam paskins that a kesem al bisara is ein lo shear. And the Ravid is masig, ein zem mechuver. Share shal Rabbi Yirmiya al kesem she bibisara tifin tifin mahu vim ein lo shir mashal. So the Ravid is referencing a Gemara here on Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says about 2/3 of the way down, by Rabbi Yirmiya, it's even with Tosas di Ramaskel Nakom. By Rabbi Yirmiya, kishir mahu, kishura mahu. Tipin tipin mahu. So Rabbi Yirmiyah had a series of questions. These are questions about dam found in different formations al visara. One of the questions was tipin tipin mahu. So tashma al visara safik tame safik taras tame, etc. So ultimately, this is an ibaydul issue, so the Gemara doesn't have a definitive answer to this question. But the Ravid says, the Gemara here is asking, what's the din of tipin tipin, what's the din of drops of blood that a woman finds on her body? So the Ravid understands, the Gemara's shayla is the shayla of hitzarfis. Do we say that the drops of blood are mitzaref to a shear of a gris? So the fact that the Gemara is asking that question must presuppose that a woman is only going to be tameya if she has a shear gris al disara. Right? The Gemara is asking, what's the din of tipin tipin? Meaning, are tipin mitzaref to a shear? The Gemara is obviously assuming, if we're asking, are tipin mitzaref to a shear, they need a shear. So you see from the Shaila Gemara that not only do you need a shear of kigris al digadeha, but you even need a shear of a gris al bisara. The Rashba, both in the Chidushim here and in the Taras Abayis Ta'aruch, page Yud Ches Amud Beis, the Rashba quotes a different understanding of the Shaila here. Now the Shaila of, if he's going on the Shaila of Shura, which is one of the other questions out of Yirmiyah's list. The Shaila is not one of Hitzdarfus, but one of the shape of the Kesem. Meaning, the Shaila of Tipin Tipin is whether if you have large Tipin that are the size of the Gris, maybe you should still be Makel where the size, where the shape of the Tipa is indicative of coming from an outside source. So it's not a shayla of small tipin being the sarif, but it's a shayla of large tipin where the shape indicates that it comes from some other source. Okay. Lahalacha, the Mechaber quotes both days. In Simen Kuf Tzadi Se'if Vav, the Mechaber writes, Had be'inan shi'ura bein bekesem hanimsa al chaluka bein bekesem hanimsa al besara. So, day number one in the Mechaber is that you need a shear of kegris both for a kesem al besara and for a kesem al gufa. V'yesh omrim, shelo amru ela b'kesem hanimsa al chaluka. V'yesh omrim, that's the shita sarambam, that the shear gris is only for a kesem on a beged, aval kesem hanimsa al besara bilvad, v'mkomos shachoshishim lehem ein lo shear. But a kesem al besara is metame even without a shear. How do we paskin? So the Shach here in Sivkat and Yud is Machmir like the Rambam. The Shach thinks that that is Shitas HaTosos as well. I don't have time to go into Tosos, but if you take a look at Tosos Dibra Maskel Kishura Mahu, and take a look at the Rush here as well, both in the Tosei Rush and the Rush in Simen Beis with the Dibre Chamudos Os Tesvav, if you want to take a look. So you'll see from the Shach and the Divrei Chamudos and the Rush that there are two different ways of understanding Shitas Tosas here, and that's part of this Machlokas Lalacha. Where does Tosas fall in which camp? The bottom line, the Shach is Machmer and the Shaila like the Rambam. The Torah Sashlamim here in Sif Katan Tes argues on the Shach. Torah Sashlamim thinks that Tosfos is like the Ravid, and Rovi Shonim hold like the Ravid. Ramosha writes in his Tshuvas to Rabbi Eider Os Zion that the minhag is to be Mako. Rav Avadya writes on pages Shin Ayin Hay to Shin Ayin Zion that the minhag is to be Mako. After all, says Rav Avadya, the general principle of Psak in the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch is that Stam v'yesh omrim halacha kistam. When the Mechaber quotes two opinions, one is quoted as the Yesh Omrim, and one is quoted as the default position, then the Mechaber means to Paskin like the default position, which in this case would be that of the Ravid. Rabbi Karp, on page Ayin Beis, quotes Rav Yashiv as Mako as well. So despite the fact that the Shach is Machmir, the general orientation of later Achronim is to be Mako on this Shaila. The Aruch HaShulchan just notes the logistical difficulty of how to show a Kesem al-Besara to a Mora Hara, which would be logistically challenging. So the Sidrei Torah, again, as we quoted before, here the Sidrei Torah is in Sifkat and Yud Beis, thinks that this whole Shaila of Kegris al-Besara may be dependent on our original issue. That if the nature of Kulas Psamim is an absolute exclusion of anything Pachas Mikigris, and maybe that extends to a Gris V'al Bisara as well. As the Agos Maimini writes, in Oath Aleph here, quoting from Ibn Simcha, that we're machmir like the Rambam on a kesam al basari even pachos mi kegris shakol haguf kibadaku eitzel dam macholes, because it is presumed that absent any contrary indication, a macholes would not attach itself to a woman's body unless we know it to be there. So that seems to be assuming that. Despite what we quoted earlier, those who wanted to say in the Rambam is of the opinion that kulas ksamim pachas mikigris is an absolute exclusion. But the Rebbeinu Simcha is saying that if the reason that pachas mikigris is going to be tmei al basara is because that's not the norm to find a macholas on her body. Now, you could have just argued that even though that's not the norm, once Xera was established that Pachas Mikigris is excluded, so it's excluded as a low plug under all circumstances. Sidur Tari doesn't want to say that, but I think one could still say such a thing. Along the lines of the Sabina Simcha, if you look at the Rebbe Akiva here, he quotes from the Teferes Samosha that even according to the Rambam, if she actually did have a Macholas on her body and killed the Macholas, then you could be told on the Macholas. But Sidur Tari thinks, again, you could argue that he thinks that this question of kigris of pachos mikigris al basara is dependent on our original question of the nature of the kula of pachos mikigris. So just to sum up, we noted a few possible areas where this question of the nature of pachos mikigris may be relevant, in addition to the original question about, generally speaking, being tola and the old size of a macholas, and the question about the status of a dam that came vade migufa below hargasha pachos mikigris. We discussed the shayla of a black mara pachos mikigris, where many poskim are meko. We discussed the shayla of a thick kesem pachos mikigris, where again many poskim are meko. We discussed the shayla of safek and the chachmas adam that one can be meko where you lost the bege before showing it to a mor hara, and then finally the shayla of kigris al bisara.